Greetings and good morning on this great Mother's Day. Hopefully everyone had a fantastic start to the day, especially you mothers thinking ahead for the whole day that hopefully your family's ready, they're prepared to take care of you in this fine day. Hopefully everybody is ready to come in and think about Mother's Day today. I was reading through the scripture yesterday. The verse of the day that I had was pretty interesting. And it was kind of a thought that God is saying in one of these verses that He cares for us like a mother cares for her children. And that's comforting to me because I know sometimes I think of my father and I think of him with a little bit of fear and a little bit of love and a little bit of different things. But whenever I think of my mother, I think of pure love. I think of being in my mother's lap as a child. I think of everything that she's done for me through the years. And it's a comforting thought to think of God as a little bit like my mother. And it's interesting when you think about it, we have so many of these verses where we read in the Old Testament and we read about the Trinity, right? We read about God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit hanging out like three best buddies throughout eternity past. And always just being together like the three best friends that you might have. You know, you're growing up. And I remember in high school, I had two best friends. And the three of us did everything together. And I think about that with the Trinity, like they've just been existing. And yet here we have in Genesis, this new creation, this new addition, where in Genesis it says that it was not good for man to be alone. And he added in women into the picture. And what a great thing that it was. As we read down through history and we look in the history of the Bible and we look back in Exodus, it says, anyone that will curse their father or mother surely shall be put to death. It says again in Exodus, if you honor your father or mother, your days may be long. In Ephesians, it says, it is the first commandment of promise to honor thy father or mother. For your life will go well with you, and you shall enjoy long life on this earth. It says in Leviticus that every man should fear his father and mother. In Deuteronomy, it gives us instructions for how a mother and a father were to deal with a stubborn and rebellious child. In Ruth, we read the story of adopted mothers. And that it's not just our biological mother that this relationship can exist with, but it can be transferred. We can be adopted into another family. Our mother-in-law is another source of a mother for us. Paul even said in the scriptures when he was traveling out, he spoke of one of the mothers in one of the cities and said, I felt like she was also my mother because of the way she took care of me. In Isaiah 66:13, this is the verse I was thinking about earlier, is that God will comfort you like a mother. I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm just giving you the thought behind this. I find it very interesting in Kings, if you're reading through the Kings, each king, as they're mentioned, their mother is immediately mentioned after them. So-and-so became king, his mother was so-and-so, daughter of so-and-so. And you wonder why that is. Why is it that the mother is always mentioned with the king? And why is it that the mother is also given glory? If the king is a good king, the sum of that glory and recognition falls back to the mother. And it is because as mothers you have so much influence in the lives of the young people that you bring up in this world. And it is such a difficult and tough road to be a mother. To be a mother is one of the hardest and most fulfilling roles in the world. I think of mothers, and mothers are long-term investors. We think of the stock market. We think of buying something and buying low and selling high. And mothers invest in the long, long term. I think of Jody and spending all the time that she did with each of our kids. I think each one of them at some point seemed like they were going to die One had a seizure. One had a tough birth. One had a tough fall. One couldn't breathe at one point. And I think of the sleepless nights that mothers spend with their children, investing in the long term, believing and seeing a vision of what it is that your children will become someday. Being a mother is of sacrifice and intense delayed gratification. Often you don't know what's going to happen in the future, and yet you're putting in, your investment is your investment in time and your health and your freedom is being put into others. Mothers can see in their young children things that we cannot often see. They can see missionaries and lawyers, future leaders, and future greatness that can only be bought and found over time and long extended periods of time. And so I put together just a few different areas in here. There were five different areas as I read through the Bible, and this is kind of a medley. I'm going through a lot of different verses without going to each one specifically, because there's just so much content in the Bible about this day and the importance of mothers that I'm just kind of pulling it through a medley, and so forgive me for not reading a longer extended scripture to start this. But I thought of five things around mothers that are important. The first one was children. The second one was husbands. The third one was the need for rest for a mother. The third one was love, and the fifth one was prayer. And I thought these five things define what a mother is to me. The first one is obviously the time that's put into your children. And we just read the Ephesians 6:2, that it's the first commandment of promise. So we have been commanded to love our mother and our father. And we read in the stories that children in some ways become as like arrows from a quiver that are sent out into the world to be a messenger for God. We read about the husband side of things, how they take husbands, which we tend to be so fragile and hard to get along with. And I read in 1 Peter 4:8, it says that love covers a multitude of sins. And I think that that's true in marriages. It's mothers that love us unconditionally and that love us over long stretches of time that makes us the best men that we can be in this life. I think of mothers putting all of this time and effort into all it is that they do, and I think that mothers need rest. They need a time when they can relax and slow down. I know a lot of mothers feel like they're not doing a good job, and part of that is when I break it down and I think about it, why do mothers think that they're maybe not doing a good job? And a lot of it to me is this delayed gratification. They're putting in time and investment now, and they won't see the return for sometimes many years. They won't see the return for a long, long time. And it's easy for a mother to be worn out, to become graceless and grumpy. It's easy to be at the end of your rope and ready to explode. And so we, as fathers and children and friends today, we need to respect that. Let's give our wives and our mothers a chance to rest today, a chance to enjoy the day. And we let us pray that they have good rest, that they have a relationship with the Lord that is solid and unmovable, that they have these times in their quiet times in their life when they can allow the Lord to lead them and guide them and restore them for the next battle and the next problem that is in their way. It says also in 2 Timothy 2:24 that we should be patient with those who refuse to obey. And I thought that was a great personification of my mother. You think as a rebellious child, and you think all the things that you did wrong with your mother. And mothers have a patience and a sense about when to slow down and when to speed up. And lastly, in prayer, I like this statement that Satan trembles in the face of a praying mother. I think of how my mother prayed for me. I think of all the stories I've heard of praying mothers praying for their children. We know that many people are in jail even today, and their mothers are praying for them. When the world has forgotten about you completely, your mother is still typically thinking about you. There are mothers visiting jails all around the world, still believing and hoping in those that have failed. In 1 Samuel, we read of maybe we'll read there a little bit. We'll go to 1 Samuel 1:26. As the example of a praying. And we know this story in 1 Samuel. This is the story of the birth of Samuel. And this is his mother here at the end. And she says in verse 26, after she'd made a sacrifice, and she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I will lend him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. And then you go into Hannah's prayer here. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, but there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." And she goes on to talk about her prayer and how the Lord is the restorer of all that she needs in her life. Well, let's take a moment here and let's sing a song. Let's sing number 64 in the Hymns of Zion. I know growing up, I loved this song. I thought when we sang this song, it reminded me of my household, my home, and where I grew up in. And it reminded me of the joy of love in the home. And I'm sure my father is partly responsible, but I think my mother is mostly responsible for the love in our home. And for all the times when you as mothers doubt, when you wonder and you worry, just think of this song and just think of the joy in your home that you bring. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're just so thankful. We are so in awe and so in wonder of your creation and what you have made, that you have created us, that you have loved us, that you have given us mothers and daughters and friends, Lord, that could come around us and that could make our families complete, that could make our lives complete, that could be such a joy and such a picture of what it is someday to be with you in heaven, Lord, to see the examples of what it is to have a true mother at your side, to have a true father in heaven, to have Jesus, to have a team around us that cares and loves us so much, that sees the eternal future through eternal glasses, to know the truth of things, to guide us in wisdom, to guide us to the things that really matter, to help us see past the mirages in life that seem to carry so much promise but have no true value, Lord. We just thank you for those that are around us, that you have put there, that you have placed there, that you have given them your word to study, that you have filled them with grace for all of our past mistakes, and that you have given them a faith to live by and to seek the future. We're so thankful, Lord, that we come here today and we know that we have a hope in the future and it all rests upon you. We're so thankful that the whole gospel, all of it, everything that is necessary, everything that we need is completely within you, Lord. We thank you of your free gift, the gift of grace that you have given out to us, that it's not of anything that we have done ourselves, but that we come to you under that free gift of grace. And we are humbled, Lord, and we are encouraged. And our lives are changed because of you, Lord. We just pray that you could continue to bless this church, that you could send your angel to be with us, to guide this church, to be with the leadership, to help each and every person from least to greatest, and all being equal in your eyes and in your sight. We pray, Lord, that many souls could be brought to you, that we could continue to honor and follow you in all that we do in word, thought, and deed, Lord. We pray that you might give us a protection and a shield against the world, that Satan would have no place and no way in to our church and into our lives. Help us, Lord, to live the redeemed lives of the early church that we read about so often, to follow and to seek you with all of our heart, soul, and mind, Lord. And teach us to love as Christians ought to love, and to love one another as you have taught us and shown us in your time here on earth. We pray for your Spirit to be with us, to help us to understand this Bible, and to honor our mothers today in this, the way that you would have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I wasn't planning to read this chapter, but it just kept coming back to me, and I thought, our mothers that take care of us and love us so much, I think sometimes they must think we are total charity cases. And I wonder how it is that they continue to put love and time into us sometimes when the return is so little. And I thought that this is a good chapter for us to read today. Hopefully, each of you as mothers out in the audience, hopefully you can feel that we know what you've done and we know the charity that you've put in and the love that you've put into the relationships around you. and that this includes all of you here today as we read in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I just wanted to give an example. I know growing up, I wasn't always the nicest to my mother. Maybe some of you can relate to that. And I think of this verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. And I think as a younger person, sometimes we take what our mother gives us, and it's a one-way street a lot of the time. And I know as I got older, I came to appreciate my mother more. And for some of you that are younger in the audience, you may not know how important and just how wonderful your mother is, and actually how wise she may be until later. I know I wasn't always the nicest to my mother growing up, and at some point in college, I felt like I owed something back to her, and I started writing her letters, and I wrote her a letter every day for 3 or 4 months, something like that. I can't remember how long it was. And I expected my mom to call me the next day and say, thank you. Didn't work out so well to think that she would call and say thank you. But the next time I saw her, she gave me a look which just said, I know, I put in the time. I did the work. I appreciate the letters. But I was there for you all the time. I was always praying for you. It's interesting, the day that I got baptized, my mom came to me afterwards and she said, hey, I want to tell you something. I didn't want to tell you this before, but she said, I actually prayed that you would get into trouble. And I thought, I wouldn't have been able to understand that prayer earlier. Because she said, I prayed that you would get into trouble and that you would need God and you would cry out for him. And that's a tough, tough prayer for a mother to pray. A mother that's willing to pray for you and say, I'm willing for you to have some adversity in your life so that you can come to know Christ. And she said, I knew you weren't ready for me to tell you that I prayed that prayer for you. And the day that I was baptized, we shared a laugh and we talked about it. I remember crying and giving her a hug and saying thank you for praying that I got into trouble, because that is when I realized I needed Christ the most. There's a long history of mothers doing extraordinary things. I love the story of Augustine. I maybe don't love all of the things that Augustine taught and learned, but Augustine was a priest in North Africa, and he grew up, and his mother was a devout Christian woman, and she prayed for and she cared for Augustine. But to see him go away, and he went and he got involved in another religion for a long time in his life. But his mother, her name was Monica, she never stopped praying for Augustine and seeking him out. And it even came to the point where he even lied to her at some point to leave town. He told her to her face that he wouldn't leave town, and he was in North Africa at that time. He wouldn't leave town. And that night he caught a boat and he went to Italy. And he lived for a long time in Italy, kind of apart from God. And it says in his memoirs that part of it was he was just lazy. He was just a son that was lazy. He wasn't willing to commit to what God had been asking him to do in his life. And his mother left, and she chased him, and she went after him, and she prayed for him. I think it was for 17 years, whether 17 years or 17 months, it's a long time. And he did. He turned to Christ. And it was a long thing. And even at the moment that he turned to Christ, when things should have been the best, she died shortly thereafter. But it was a lifelong pursuit of her son that I think any of you as mothers would do for your own children and are doing today. That's a great story. I also love the story that you guys have maybe heard of Elizabeth Elliot. And Jim and Elizabeth Elliot, this was a guy who was in 1956, was a missionary to a tribe in the middle of nowhere. I think it was in South America. And he died going in to see that tribe. I think he was shot with an arrow maybe, or a spear. And later she went back and went and continued the work that he had begun and finished it as a mother, and helping to bring that tribe to know Jesus. And she had a saying that she would open all of her talks with, and she said, "You are loved with an everlasting love." And that's the love that she felt. And I thought that personifies mothers to me so much, is this idea of an everlasting love, that a mother will never stop loving you. And can I just say thank you to all of you for that? Can I just say thank you? What a joy it is to have mothers in our lives. You ladies and women that are here, it is just tremendous to have you in our church, to have you as friends. It is just an amazing thing that you have this capacity for love and charity. So in closing, maybe we should come to this thought of Jesus himself. I thought this was very interesting. If we read in John, John 2, 3 through 8, let's just read this story of this excerpt between Jesus and his mother. And maybe we'll just start at the first verse in chapter 2. "On the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said unto her, 'Mother, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come.' His mother said unto the servants, 'Whatever he said unto you, do it.' And there was set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, 'Fill the water pots with water.' And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, 'Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast.' And they bear it. And the ruler of the wine had tasted the water that was made wine, and he knew whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew, and the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said, 'Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now, the very best until last.'" And do you catch it there? It's a very subtle thing, but Jesus is kind of saying, "Hey, it's not my time, and you should know that. Like, I'm not ready to go, mother. But on the other hand, it's pretty interesting that he obeyed his mother. Even when it looks and appears that he didn't need to obey her at this point, it was not his time. He was not ready to perform his miracles. We know a lot of his ministry began at the age of 30. So I think it's a great thing for us, especially you as younger children, young men and young ladies, to sit out there and to think that Jesus obeyed his mother, even to the point of being against the whole prophecy and plan to some extent. So there's a call for us to obey our mothers. So I ask you this morning, maybe we can do it just for one day. Kids, can we do it? Can we just obey our mother today implicitly for Mother's Day? You know, if we continue on, though, in the story of Jesus, I think this is the real neat story in Matthew 15:4. In Matthew 15:4, well, he does have an excerpt of the mother and the father there and how important it is to do it not just with your lips, but to do it and to honor your parents with your actions and what it is that you're actually doing. And maybe it's Matthew 3, actually, that I was thinking of. And so in here, he's basically saying, that he takes the love of a mother and he takes it to the next level. He's basically saying is that if any of us are to do something unto Christ, even over and above that's more important than honoring our father and our mother, that we will be rewarded and that it's a great thing, that we must take this example of what we have in motherhood and we must transfer it into eternal salvation and into the final goal of what we... And maybe it's better in Mark. So in Mark... And he says here, "Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." And what he's basically saying is that this idea is that we must take the skills and the idea of what it is that our mothers have done for us, and we must think about that in the greater context of everyone that is around us, and we must be thinking eternally and on a higher plane and to follow. And it says that even if you follow, if you despise, or if you stop doing the will of your mother and father, but if you are doing it unto me and unto Jesus and unto a greater calling, that you shall have a reward. So anyway, I use that just in closing, just for us to think about Jesus and that this is an example today. But it's an example of a greater thing, of a more important thing, of our own salvation. And so in closing, I just want to thank all of the mothers. I want to thank you for all that you do. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope that everybody has plans for you today. I just pray that we can honor you not just today, but we can honor you all year long and all it is that you do. Thank you to all of the mothers.
I loved how Eric mentioned Jim and Elizabeth Elliot, and that story I think is this shows this great contrast, right? Because guys think we're strong, you know, and Jim goes in, he had a gun, promised he wouldn't use it, but of course he had a gun with him, and he dropped in amongst the tribe. I mean, one of the gifts he gave to the tribe was a machete, I think. But it was through Elizabeth, the end of that story is so sweet, it was through Elizabeth that tribe repented. I remember I heard one of the tribesmen give a testimony afterwards of that. And it made me think of a story. I also love how Eric mentioned that in mothers we see a part of God. Made me think of a story. Remember my dad said when he was younger, I don't know, 8 or 9, they were building I-65 and they had these bulldozers out there. You know, big, strong bulldozers. And so on the weekend, one time they kind of walked out there and there was no workers and they climbed up on a bulldozer. They hit some buttons and they accidentally started this like enormous bulldozer. And if the story's right, I don't think they could figure out how to turn it off. And it made me think, you know, guys are kind of like bulldozers. We try and clear the path. If there's a tree in the way, we think a bigger bulldozer's better, right? If a bigger chainsaw's better. Now I'm going to get in big trouble. I've been thinking for a while. So then what would represent moms? If dads are like bulldozers. What I settled on is I think moms are like the private jet. There's a lot more finesse there. And you can go with dad to clear the trees, to drive the bulldozer, and it's a lot of fun. But then when you spend time with mom, you get up over everything and you look down at dad trying to remove this tree. And she shows you a different world. And maybe the bulldozer, if it came to a tug of war, maybe it's stronger than the private jet. But the private jet can take you places and show you things that a bulldozer can't. I think moms show us a different world, and what they tell us is slow down sometimes. They tell us that we're enough. They tell us they love us. They tell us we don't need necessarily to always be clearing the trees. Sometimes we just need to be still. At least I go to my mom to know that I'm enough, because she's convinced me she just likes who I am, not what I achieve, what I accomplish. She just likes being with me, and I think that's a piece of God, and I love that connection. So we'll look to someone to call a hymn and then somebody to offer a prayer for the mealtime. Thanks.
Lord in heaven, we bow before you today, profoundly thankful for the mothers that we have in our lives, for the countless hours spent praying for us and caring over us when we're sick or don't know what to do or need advice or just pouring their time and their love into us. Lord, we thank you for the example that we have in the way that Jesus loved Mary, the way that even as he hung on the cross, he still cared about his mother. He sought for her well-being. We ask, Lord, that you would give each of us children the presence of mind to always be thinking about our mothers. Even when we may be suffering, Lord, that we can thank them and that we can just provide for them in even just the smallest of ways that they've provided for us. And Lord, we ask this day that you would bless the food that has been prepared for us and bless the conversation that we will have over this noon hour. Keep us focused on the true godly example that you have put in each of our lives through our mothers. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.